Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, June 11th, about noon Central Time with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just well today, Scott. Yourself?
I am doing well. We have had quite the movement in the marketplace over the last 5 trading days or since last podcast day, so I figure we will start there. We got an S&P down about 4%. Over that period of time, NASDAQ looks like about 7, although it was tremendously outperforming at that point. Dow down about 3, Russell 3.5. However, as a side note, and I found this interesting, and I'd love to get your take on this. So all the focus has been on, especially because of AI and that whole sector, the focus has been on the tech-heavy NASDAQ, right? But the reality has been the Russell has been quietly been the best performing equity index so far this year. And I think that's important to note because of our allocation into the small cap space.
I'm so glad you brought up the Russell because it really doesn't get a lot of notice. Because not a lot of people who are especially not in the industry talk about small caps. You know, you tend to stay away from small caps in your 401ks or 403bs, so you don't really think about those. And the only people that really do are people like us, people in this field who look at these all the time. And small caps have really been able to kind of maintain the positivity with the volatility that's currently been happening. And I'm so happy we maintained the small cap exposure inside the portfolios because there was a time because of the shift in the interest rates that we thought about trimming it. But, you know, cooler heads prevailed and it's actually fantastic to see that small caps are getting the respect they deserve.
That's right. And you mentioned two things there that I had on my mind to cover, but one of which is, yes, of course, we did go into the small cap space. There was two reasons to go into it. One was because everyone was anticipating interest rate cuts, which we'll get into in just a minute. But the second reason, if you remember, and I couldn't tell you what podcast last year this was that we talked about it, or multiple of them, but it had the most room to improve, right? Like it had a lot of ground to make up.
That's right.
And that was really the case over the last 2 years. So that was the secondary reason, and that's what's really propelling this and bolstering it higher against the other indices. It's just not getting the recognition, which honestly is what you want. You really don't want to be under the microscope, so to speak. But you also brought up another interesting point that I wanted to touch on. Well, I guess real quick, crude oil. I know that's dominating the headlines, just under $90 a barrel. That has a lot to do with actions in the Middle East, but somewhat in a little bit of a range, if you want to call it range bound. It's a wide range, but at least a little bit of a range. And then you mentioned volatility, and I find that to be very interesting. And I have yet to have heard anybody talk about this. So if you look at this year, basically from Feb to April, we had about, in the S&P, not our portfolios, but the S&P had about an 8% decline. Now, it was a bit of a nondescript decline. It didn't have a short window where it sold off real rapidly and then rallied real rapidly. It was a little bit of a drawn-out sell-off. So about 8%. The volatility index in that period of time, and we're talking, what is that, 8 weeks?
It jumped
50%. Volatility did. Now, if you look at this decline, which has been about, from last podcast to now, about 4% in the S&P, the volatility index has jumped somewhere around about 10%. So the reason that's important, I just want to make sure I get about, maybe 15. We'll say 15%. The reason that's important is because it's showing. So the volatility index is a gauge of fear, and it's showing that the fear, despite the background of all the geopolitical issues, the fear index has actually come down substantially versus the first quarter, basically, of this year. And I think that is a very, very bullish sign. And I would like to get your take on that.
I believe it as well. Typically, when we have these sharp moves to the downside, such as the 2025 tariffs, COVID, you see the volatility index, or the VIX, as we like to call it, moves very high very quickly. And that is the fear index. When it goes up to the 50%, like you're talking about, that is true fear in the market and instability in the market that we saw earlier this year. When the Iranian conflict started, there was fear because of the impending possible inflation and, initial shocks of war always happens to happen to make those VIX moves like that. And to piggyback off of the VIX is if you go into what's RSP, which is the equal weighted ETF, if you look at that over the last 5 trading days, it's only down about 1.5%. The regular S&P is down 4%. The weighted down 4 compared to the regular equal weighted is down 1.5. That's telling you that a lot of the capital that's been leaving the market is leaving from the big names. A few months ago, 2 months ago, we talked about how there was a rotation back into certainty, back into the big names. Well, now it's almost like it's taking back away from the big names and redistributing across the entirety of the market. So you have a low VIX move, which means there's not that much fear happening, but the market's coming down. Well, that's because it's shifting from all tech all the way to more broad-based across the market.
That's right. And I think that's also evidenced by the stat that we were talking about or pointing out the idea or the fact, really, of the Russell quietly outperforming all of the other major indices. It is interesting that we've seen this many sector rotations in and out of the big names and the dispersion effect that we've talked about in the past. It is interesting to see that have happened this many times just halfway through the year. But I think it's healthy, and obviously the market is still in a prime position to have positive returns somewhere in that zone that we've been talking about for 6 months. Now, another thing I wanted to point out about that, Carl, about the volatility, I'm not sure you can draw a straight line correlation this way. You might can, you might not be able to. But what's interesting about what the recovery was when the volatility index spiked 50% on an 8% sell-off in the S&P, it was then followed by a 17% recovery in essentially the exact same time frame, right? So 8 weeks. Now, if you were to draw a straight line correlation and you take where we are year to date on the S&P, the market weighted, then you could make the argument that you add 17% to where we are today, and you're right in that zone that we've been talking about. Now, obviously, it's early to be trying to marry those two together, but I did find that to be somewhat interesting because it would line up with what we've seen already in the first quarter of this year.
That's very true. And with the summertime typically has the lack of volume, therefore the increase in the volatility, that's kind of what we've been seeing. And another reason for a little bit more volatility is I'm going to go ahead and jump into Carl's corner here for just for myself so I can go over these inflationary numbers here. We had over the past 2 days, yesterday CPI came out and today PPI came out. And there's two different metrics inside of each one. You have month over month and year over year. Now, the year over year, as anyone who has seen the news, has come in hotter than anticipated. CPI came in around 4.2, and PPI, well, PPI only had a month to month. So PPI month to month was 1.1, and the month to month for the CPI was 0.5%. And the reason why we like the month over month numbers as opposed to the year over year is because the month over month numbers really show the future outlook of the market and the inflationary rates as opposed to the previous. Year over year is a good metric to use just looking in the past, but we all know, bread costs more, gas costs more. We all know that that happens. The important thing that we're trying to figure out, especially when it comes to creating the portfolio to withstand A, this volatility, and B, possible future inflationary measures, is we need to know what's going to be coming up in these next few months. So this month, 0.5%, which is exactly what we were forecasting for the CPI, for PPI, 1.1. That's a little bit higher than we wanted. We were looking at about 80 basis points or 0.8%. So having a little bit higher, these next 2 months are going to be crucial, and I'll have a lot more telling of what the interest rates are going to be, whether it's going to be a hike or a change in any shape, form. These next two inflationary months are going to be very important to keep our eyes on.
They will be. And I think that's going to continue to be sort of the anchor of what determines the direction of the market for the next several years, right? Because if you think about it, if for some reason we had a fluctuation in interest rates higher, which I'm thinking we're not going to, we're just hopefully delaying the rate cuts. But, with a target rate of 2%, that we're talking about a couple of years here, probably. To get anywhere in that range, 2 to 3% rather. And so that's going to continue to lead, to your point, lead the direction of the makeup, the composition of the portfolios, because that's going to ultimately determine broad market, right? And then we get to hone in on sector specific, and whether that be a combination of technical, statistical, and seasonal. That'll help us really, really kind of refine the portfolios. But I actually kind of like that, right, Carl? Because we get that information, and then the market tends to respond to that forward looking. So we get to position ourselves in a way with a little bit of advance warning, if you will, to maximize the way we're positioned against volatility and overall market direction, and things like, the 2.5 year idea that we've talked about for a long time. How do we position for that with the overall landscape of the interest rate? That's why I love jumping into Carl's corner, because it gives us a lot of good info as to how we construct future portfolios between now and those instances.
And the way we create portfolios, Scott and I are constantly in communication, looking over investments. We have investment committee meetings all the time, looking to find out where we want to shape this portfolio, what sectors or industries we think are going to be doing well. And as we've talked about before, we start with the macroeconomics of it all. We start with the inflation and the interest rate. Those will have more of a guideline on what the market will do than anything else out there. If you know what those two are doing, then you have a pretty good idea of where you can kind of place the portfolio moving forward. And so getting a good outlook and seeing, okay, if there's no rate change, we get a little bit higher inflation, we know we can attack certain sectors a little bit more heavily than others. And I believe we have a really good plan going into the end of the year. We have two or three different scenarios we're planning on. We just need to see which one are going to kick off based on the metrics we're seeing, and we're ready to shift right into them.
That's right. I'm really excited for the rest of the year. And honestly, too, and then we can wrap it up unless you have anything else, Carl. But this reminds me very much of the transition between 2022 and 2023 market-wise, because the interest rate environment was allowing for opportunities in the fixed space, right? Elevated opportunities historically. About 40 years to capture some higher guaranteed rates while kind of timing the equity market that was sort of in this transition mode of another leg higher. And so that part I love. I love, well, it was same thing in 2018 and 19, same thing in basically 15 and 16. So there's a lot of good opportunities all the way around. I mean, obviously we focus in a lot on this podcast on our equity portfolios, investment portfolios. But as we all know, investments reach farther than that. And so there's still some good opportunities to create a balanced portfolio. And I had that conversation at length yesterday, actually. So just keep that in mind. And if you have any questions about that or what that means or what that entails, just give us a call and we'll go through it and see what might make sense for each individual, obviously. But with that, Carl, that's all I had. Did you have anything else?
No, we have our eyes on these inflationary buttons that are coming through. I don't really see any big ones next week besides the Fed meeting is on the 17th. So we do have our eyes on that. We're going to be very much looking forward to seeing how Warsh does on his very first Fed meeting. So that's going to be very key. We have a lot of volatility that's going to be kind of leaning into it. We're going to see what we have from there, but if any of the listeners think someone might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Perfect. And with that, then we are going to go ahead and look forward to wishing everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're also going to look forward to doing this again next week.